in these moments when a bell rings, we have interesting point of what do we do? How do we end a meditation? How do we transition? And one idea that we can have is in each meditation, we're kind of inflating a balloon, like we're blowing up a balloon. Yeah. Probably something we've all done at some time where you have to keep that little squeeze and then you blow and then you need to squeeze it again to stop the air escaping. And then by the end of the meditation, it's almost like we've inflated that balloon, but we haven't tied a knot in it. We've still just got it held in our fingertips. And so in this metaphor, you can't tie a knot in the balloon, okay? So we don't have that option. So we just keep it pinched, closed. What we'll often do is a bell will ring and then we'll just release the fingers and let go of the balloon. Like, oh, finished. And the balloon whoosh, flies off. And then we go out and we start, maybe, it's 45 minutes of sitting. We go out, do 45 minutes of walking. We pull out a fresh balloon and we start inflating the balloon through the walking meditation. And then another bell rings or something calls us back. And so we let go of that balloon, it whoosh, flies off. We come back into the meditation hall. And if we're really lucky, if we're really attentive, we'll immediately remember we need to find a balloon and get going with our practice again. If you're more like me, you'll probably come in, forget about even looking for a balloon, and just sit there for half an hour and then suddenly remember, hang on, what am I supposed to be doing? And then again, we're inflating this balloon almost like from nothing. Yeah, each time, just blowing it up, inflating it, inflating it. So speaking about how to end a meditation, maybe what's most helpful is that we don't let go of that balloon. We don't end a meditation completely. Maybe in the meditation we've developed a sense of more spaciousness or more calmness. Maybe we have more kindness or more stability. And so can we very gently sustain those qualities as we maybe open the eyes or move the body? So we can take those qualities with us through the practice, and there's less work we'll need to do each time reinflating the balloon. Now, of course, this can sound like more work, but I'm trying to express the idea it's actually less work. It sounds like more work, more meditation. What, meditate between the meditations? Surely that's more work, but it's actually easier overall. Something it's really worth exploring how we do is like, how do I apply my effort and energy for the easiest time? So it doesn't have to be as intense, say going from the sitting posture to the walking location. Something just sustaining. Yeah, I'm here, I'm present. And so the amount of effort, the amount of energy we want to put into any moment really needs to be sensitive and appropriate. You may also notice that through a breath, when you're paying attention to a breath, it has these different qualities, and we maybe want to adjust our energy and our effort through that as well. You might notice that the beginning movements of the in-breath actually, they can kind of gather the mind. The mind can gather there. The subtler ending of that in-breath and the stillness before the out-breath happens again, that can be quite hard to pay attention to. So if we imagine there's like a dial of our effort and energy, maybe the dial is quite low on that in-breath coming in, but needs to be turned up a bit higher, the interest, the what's it really like of that stillness, so that we can really pay attention to something more subtle fully. Yeah, so we have the dial of attention and we want to adjust it through the breath. And it can be quite low when the in-breath is coming in because it's almost like naturally interesting because it has movement, it has dynamics. We can go, oh yeah, in-breath is happening. But you'll notice, maybe it's the same for you as it is for me, the ending of that in-breath kind of fades in movement and it goes into this kind of stillness. And the mind can wander away there. So we need to turn up that volume of attention. And then again, there's the movement of the out-breath starts to happen. It's like, oh yeah, that's interesting again. So the dial can come back down and we kind of rest with that. It happens by itself almost. And then again, all the air is expelled. It's like, oh, what's that like? What does it feel like? How do I know all the air is gone? On some retreats, they get so intense around paying attention. We're not going to quite go there. Someone might say, and then I had this thought of desire, and I thought about having some kind of sensual desire, and they'll say, well, was that on an in-breath or an out-breath or the gap between? When did it happen? But I've certainly thought for myself that I think most of the time when my mind wanders away is in those stillnesses. Either the breath all the way in, or even more likely, probably the breath all the way out. And I'm kind of, I just drift away. And then fantasy, to-do list. And so with our practice, we have this kind of balancing of just being okay that the mind wanders, and also wanting to be dedicated to more times of unification. So we accept that mindfulness is inconstant, but we want to make the most of it and cultivate the best possible conditions that we can have more and more mindful presence, gathered moment. Okay, so that was all just a little bit about, making the transitions and also supporting more steadiness. And you can see that it's about applying our effort and energy in small time frames and larger time frames. And so if you're like me, you probably like something simple, like, oh, just meditate when you're in the hall. The rest of the time, mind can go wild and, or set the dial of energy to 5 and we'll keep it on that for the rest of the retreat. But there's really a lot of fun and a lot of delight that we can have by playing along that dial and finding the right way of, pretty adjusting, sensitive adjustment. This is kind of just a sidebar thing. I really like being translated because I feel like at least, you're probably getting a better second version of what I'm saying. Okay. So something I normally say at the beginning of talks, and because we're now kind of in the middle part, I'd say it now as well. Just make yourself comfortable. If you want to change your posture, if you want to lean against the wall, if you want to whatever it is, lie down, it's all fine with me. But be comfortable. I sometimes play this trick on people, and I'm going to tell you I'm playing a trick so that it's not really a trick on you. But like, make yourself comfortable for listening is what I like to say. And then my joke kind of comment is, well, if that's really very different than the posture you use for meditation, then we need to talk. But really, as we know, playing with that energy, including the posture, is something to be sensitive. One of the most useful words I see for meditation is actually listening to our experience. And so when I'm practicing, I try and be sensitive to how is my listening? And of course, I also want to be sensitive to what am I listening. So I want to address a question that I received. What is mindfulness? What does it mean to be mindful, to be full of mind towards something? A difficult word to translate. Yeah. So there's a few ways that we can respond to this question, or I can see as ways of responding to this question. Every word that's translated from the Pali, the ancient language that the Buddha gave the teachings in, it's difficult to get accurate translations. And so mindfulness is in many ways a very useful word. It existed, it wasn't like invented as a translation, it already existed as a word, to be alert, to be mindful. The meaning of the word in Pali, sati, actually means to remember. It's related to remembering. And so that kind of gives rise to a question is like, well, what are we remembering? What are we supposed to be remembering? And that can be like an open question for us is that, well, why are they using a word that relates to memory when we're talking about being present? It could be that we're supposed to remember to be present. Maybe that's what we're supposed to be remembering and just reminding ourselves, keep being present, keep being present. It could mean that we are remembering the moment that just went by. Yeah, you can't be remembering the very present. You just remember, oh, this just happened and this just happened, this just happened. Maybe it's that kind of. Probably also, these are useful. It's probably also related to remembering the Dharma, remembering that you're practicing. And within that, we're also remembering that there are other possibilities. Now, we talked about this moment being fabricated. So when we talk about this mindfulness being full of something, which I think that only works in English, yeah, what is it full of? We could say it's quite full of what it's attending to. The more attention we place on this thing here, the more the heart and mind is full of that. Yeah, it's not dispersed, it's not spread, it's not disconnected. Yeah, body, heart, and mind are together. Attention, awareness, the present moment are together. And you might recognize, oh, that's not a normal experience. That's not how it normally is. Normally, the mind and the heart, they go off and do their errands, do their work. and leave the body behind. And so this fullness is full of presence. And we talked about what we attend to expands, and so it can get fuller and fuller as we pay attention, more sensitive. So what we use this mindfulness towards is noticing, it's normal that I'm not often very present. You know, that's a habit that we go through. And as I was saying, you know, we have to just accept, okay, mind wanders a lot, that's fine. But then we also notice, I can be more present. And so mindfulness actually comes with a couple of friends, normally. It's often said in the teachings, mindful, ardent, and alert. Ardent, be like dedicated. And so we're mindful, we're remembering to be present, but we also need to be alert. Oh yeah, I'm going to drift away at some point. We also have to be ardent, so be dedicated, be passionate about this moment. Yeah. Otherwise, there's not going to be enough energy in this, and it'll drift away. And we also need that ardency, that passion, to come back again. Hey, I can be present again. So we're using this skill not to stand alone, but to be in combination with its friends, to be mindful to what's happening. We're alert, we're aware of the fact that, yeah, this is going to be inconstant. It's likely to change. And when it does, I'll bring as much positivity as I can. It's like, yes, this is another moment where I can be gathered. Another thing we really want to be mindful, ardent, and alert to are what are called the hindrances to practice. And so these hindrances are just very common things that take us away from feeling really free, feeling at ease, feeling deep peace. And they are very common shapes of what the Buddha called dukkha. And he would say, I teach dukkha and freedom from dukkha. This is what I teach. And so far, we're not translating this word dukkha. That's what I'm checking, yeah. So it's one of those words that unfortunately, you know, it's much more useful that it's not translated. So remember, we're mindful, we're alert, and then we're ardent. So we'll probably forget very soon whatever word was translated. One word that can be quite helpful, not necessarily a very good translation for dukkha, but one word that could be helpful is reactivity. In life, there is reactivity. And this is caused by the thirsting after experience. Wanting to get something, wanting to get rid of something. Sometimes in our life, we feel like we haven't got enough energy and we get reactive about that. You know, I shouldn't be so tired. Sometimes we're sitting down to meditate and we just want some peace and quiet. And there's a lot of agitated thoughts in the mind or too much energy in the body and get reactivity about that. Or there can be doubt and or confusion. And we feel like I should understand by now. And we get reactive about that. So in a way, we have these reactions to a state of discomfort. And interestingly, these reactions actually create more discomfort. So is there something that we can do that would support less reactivity? So that's what I'd like to speak about for the next 10 minutes or so, is some ways that we can lessen the reactivity. At any time in our experience here, you've probably felt a few moments where there was too much energy, kind of a restlessness, or a feeling of there not being enough energy. What we might call sleepiness. And we might have gotten reactive about that or felt disheartened in that situation. And let's just look at the energy, just working with the energy first of all. So we spoke a little bit in the questions and responses about the feeling of sleepiness, lack of energy. So let's start when there's too much energy in the system. Something that was a really helpful way of looking at this, maybe it was an insight, is that it's our attention can go on the energy. But I think it's more useful to bring the attention to the space that the energy is appearing in. Yeah. So I changed my way of thinking about this, which feels quite insightful. Rather than focusing on trying to change the amount of energy there is, I realized it was more helpful for me to think about the amount of space that this energy was occurring in. So it's not there's not enough energy. It's there's too much space for the amount of energy that's here. And it's not that there's too much energy, there's not enough space for the energy that's here. Okay, I hope that makes sense, because I'm not even sure if I said it the right way around. But if you get that, get the sense that you can work the chemistry or physics, whatever it is, in your own mind. What do you think, Mr. Physics? Okay, good, good. So when there's too much energy, rather than trying to make there be less energy, which is a really frustrating way of working, let's see if we just open the space. Whereas normally what would happen is like there's too much energy and I get reactive, and that reactivity actually shrinks the amount of space there is. So it feels like it adds energy, but I think it just shrinks the space. That's my feeling. So it's quite a courageous move, but I think what you'll find most effective when there's too much energy, too much agitation, too much restlessness, activity in the mind is let's just make space. So we'll start from the closest thing, right? So there's probably muscle tightness already, tension. So we can invite that to lessen. Just invite it to relax, soften. And with that as well, you'll notice also the awareness has shrunk. You know, perhaps it's as small as the head, it might be even smaller. And we can invite the awareness to relax and expand, maybe the whole body. And so this is really kind of counterintuitive. So it's probably going to shrink back, but we're just going to keep relaxing, keep expanding it. And so it's quite similar as we were doing in the practice today, you know, kind of this breathing deeper and deeper, including the back of the body. We keep adding space. Or if we really need more space because it's really getting agitated, like listen to the most distant sound. So not the motorbike on the road just next to us, but like the really distant sounds. And here's something that's probably very obvious, but it might be kind of new, is what's the size of awareness when you're listening to distant sounds? What's the felt sense of awareness when you remember all that sky above you, above the building, you know, that vast sky above you, and you just remember it? Like, how big is your awareness now? Yeah, it seems that awareness will reach whatever size you imagine it to kind of go out to. Like everything is within this awareness. Awareness is not limited by something. Yeah, hopefully that doesn't feel all just kind of theoretical. It feels kind of quite relative, quite practical. It's like, oh, we can actually play with the size of our awareness just through using our imagination a little bit. And so this is actually something we can also use. You know, let's say like the mind is active, there's a story of, you know, like we said, sensual pleasures, or a story of aversion, like, oh, why did this, you know, I don't like this person, or I don't like this thing in the world. And it creates a lot of energy in the heart and the mind. And maybe, you know, we've been through a few meditations where we were really sleepy and now we're energized and fired up, but our thinking pattern is probably not so healthy. And I invite you just to do a nice kind of clever little move, which is let's just, we don't need to know how the story ends. But let's just feel the energy in the system, just as energy. And so we'll open out that space to support more of this energy. And I think we can start to feel something that's kind of quite peaceful, but also alive, energized. So let's talk a little bit about the other side of our experience at times, right? When there's just not enough energy. Maybe we've got the space, but we haven't got the juice. Yeah. We need to plug in the battery a little bit more. And so we mentioned already, we can be very tired from life, right? It feels like there isn't a lot of juice. We've come into retreat. We're actually quite tired. So get the rest that you need. But I just want to share with you a few ways that we can actually get a little bit more energy from this moment. So it could be that, you know, I've realized that I haven't been mindful and I need to be ardent and I have to come back to the breath again. But the breath's boring. And this, you know, it'd be much nicer to be, you know, just wait for the bell to ring and then I'll go and do something else. So the first thing is we should be just slightly ashamed, you know, of having a really perfect moment, but just like, I can't be bothered. It's just too perfect. You know, it's peaceful, it's calm, you know, but oh, I don't want it. Probably if we had to tell our grandparents or great grandparents, yeah, it was really peaceful and calm, but I just couldn't be bothered. It'd be so shameful. So actually, this is a beautiful moment of your life. And can we really get to know it? What's actually happening here? You know, if we feel bored at any time, then you actually have the opportunity to explore a really rare experience. You know, boredom turns up and says, I'm boring, don't bother with me, you know, don't do something else. But actually, boredom's really interesting. It's a really interesting experience. Like, have you ever been mindful and bored at the same time? Yeah. Mindful boredom. It's really highly recommended. One of my teachers would say, when you feel a little bit bored, try and feel even more bored. Turn that dial right up to 10. I want a 10 on the boredom, maybe an 11. Or I really want to know what boredom's like. Yeah, just really want to know what it's like. How do you know it? Get interested in boredom. And so we mentioned before, yeah, not being too warm, not being too comfortable, and brightening the inner life. An interesting thing that'll happen is as we pay attention to our experience, even if it doesn't feel like there's a lot of energy, the attention you bring into it can generate energy. And so if you notice it, like bring your attention with an intensity into something that's not very energetic, and it starts to become more energetic. And it's almost like if you've done a standing meditation at some time, you can feel it. It's just like this, I'm taking a stand, I'm showing up, I'm here for life, and that brings energy from the posture, from the attitude. Yeah, it's almost like if you've ever done standing meditation, it has an energy to it. Yeah, we're taking a stand for something. So even if you're sitting here, you can feel that. Yeah, you remember what it's like to stand up. You can just feel the energy coming up your body, up out into the space like this. So again, just as we imagine the vaster space, we can also just imagine the body coming alive with the brightness or energy moving. Just noticing it, just imagining these things affects us remarkably. So that's a few extra kind of ideas that we can bring into our practice. But I think relating to the reactivity as energy, yeah, is quite a skillful way that we can work with a lot of these things. We could say more about working with stories, but we'll just use them as energies for now. Okay, so let's just bring this to a close and we'll have a quiet minute together. As you know, we'll have time for some questions tomorrow, and I look forward to meeting a few of you at from 6:15 today. So thank you all for your presence and listening. All of those of you in the Zen Center, and also all those of us coming in online. It's really nice to have a sense of us all together, practicing together. Wish you well in keeping your balloons inflated and your energy well adjusted through your practice.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.